writing down some of the things that they wanted us as adults to know about what it's like to be a teenager in 2018. I know they're going to share some of those things in a few minutes. And it's kind of important that they do share that with us because it's a long time ago for some of us, isn't it? And even when we were teenagers, things, we have to say, were very different. And it seems sometimes nowadays, doesn't it, that teenagers and adults just speak a totally different language from each other. That was very much what the sketch with Catherine Tate and in the role of Lauren and Tony Blair was about. Two people who seemed just, until the end, not to be speaking the same language. So, is there anybody there? Is there anybody there? How can God help me in changing times? Because to be a teenager is certainly to live through a period of very rapid and potentially unsettling change in your life. If you're a teenager, then your body's changing and your mind is certainly changing. Some time ago, a well-known neurologist in America called Francis Jensen published a fascinating book called The Teenage Brain. And it's full of fascinating insights into teenage behavior. It deals with questions like, some of you who are parents of teenagers here tonight, you may want to get this book, because it deals with questions like, why is my teenager so untidy? Why do I find it difficult to get my teenager up in the mornings? Why won't my teenage son talk to me? And then it deals with general questions like, should the voting age be lowered to 16? And Jensen's key conclusion from her research is that just as a teenager's body is undergoing a transition during those teenage years, so is their mind, so is their brain. Those synapses, those electrical connections that link up all the different neurons within our brain, they're still developing very much during the teenage years. And that process works apparently from the rear areas of the brain towards the front. And it finishes, those links are finally made in the frontal lobes. And those are the parts of the brain that control insight, empathy, and controlled risk-taking. This is her conclusion. I thought it was quite interesting. This means, says Francis Jensen, that very bright teenagers may do very stupid things in a very impulsive way sometimes. I don't think organization, she writes, is always a high priority for teenagers. They have other things to worry about. If only I'd known all that as a teacher years ago, it might have helped me. So your mind is changing. Your emotions are changing as a teenager. All those hormones that are racing around inside your body are bound to change the way you feel and the way you react and you respond to others. Being a teenager is a journey of discovery. This was what one person wrote last Sunday, and I read it whilst I was with the flames. Most importantly, somebody wrote, being a teenager is about discovering yourself as a person. And Dr. Ross Campbell, who's written extensively about the teenage years, has written a very well-known book called How to Really Love Your Teenager. He says this, teenagers need to become independent, but that is difficult, because we live in a very complex world. Now, if any of you this evening are reaching the end of those teenage years, and you kind of think, oh, it's going to be a relief, you know, to get to 20 and to step off the roller coaster of all of those changes, if that's how you feel, then I have some very bad news for you. And it's this. The changes may slow down, but they won't stop. Because The plain fact is, particularly in the 21st century, that life, whatever age you are, is all about change. Think, for example, of the world of work that many of you here this evening experience. And think how much it's changed. If I were to think of how much the world of education has changed since I first became a teacher back in 1974, I think, back in the dark ages, anyway, a very, very long time ago. We kind of thought that a banda machine was really great technology, and certainly we didn't have any computers. And if I think of how much my working life has changed during my career in education, and that pace of change is getting quicker and quicker. So in the workplace, it's all about dealing with change. And even if you get into your, let's say, into your 60s or 70s, you're facing another period of change and transition. I was sat in a pub restaurant a few weeks ago. I'd arranged a meeting. This was partway up the A140, and I'd arranged a meeting with a colleague from Norwich. And so that neither of us had to drive too much, we met midway at Stoke Ash. And We were having our lunch and chatting things through, and we looked around, and I realised that, and this doesn't happen very often, I can tell you, I realised I was just about the youngest person who was present in the restaurant, in the White Horse at Stoke Ash. And we kind of guessed that it must be a sort of special offer day for sort of over 65s or something. It was, you know, 20% off. I don't know what it was, but everybody, it seemed that the pensioners of Stoke Ash and the area were all sort of out in force on that particular day. But you know, to be a 60 or 70 something is to be facing another period of change. Your body is changing. Your mind is changing. You have to battle to keep sharp and alert, and things that came easily into your mind or that you remembered so quickly years ago, maybe they don't. You have to work hard at that. To be in your later years is also, I have to tell you, to be on a journey of discovery. You may not want to be on it, but it is another journey of discovery. And it's precisely because life is so full of change that we need a source of stability, don't we? I think that's really what the question that the young people have put to me is about. You may seek for stability in yourself, maybe in your work, maybe in other people. I think often we draw our sense of stability maybe from parents, maybe from friends, maybe from another relationship. And very often those people can and do provide us with stability, but they can't provide us with stability that's going to last, not a foundation that's going to last forever. You and I need a firm foundation in changing times. We're going to see a picture now of the Wolf Rock Lighthouse. It's one of my favourite. I love lighthouses. It's one of my favourite lighthouses off the Cornish coast. It's about 10 miles out from Land's End, so it's right out in the Atlantic. It's about 12 miles from the Isles of Scilly. And it's a remarkable piece of engineering because it has stood there in the teeth of all the worst weather that the Atlantic can throw at it for more than 150 years. It stood up to the most incredible storms during that period. And it stood firm because it's well engineered, but also because it's got solid foundations that have been bored right down into the Wolf Rock that lies beneath it. No storm is going to destroy that lighthouse. A few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, Guy read these words of Jesus to us in one of our, let me tell you, a story services. We're going to see them up on the screen now. Everyone who hears these words of mine, said Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, And the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And I guess the question for all of us this evening is this: in changing times, and they really are changing, what are you building your life upon? What's your foundation? We heard this morning from Andrew about Jesus, who's the capstone or the cornerstone. Peter writes this, we'll see the words on the screen, that Jesus, he's the one to build your life on. He's a precious cornerstone. And Peter says, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And another way of putting that would be, he who believes in Jesus will never be let down. I'm going to hand back to the young people.
What one thing would you like an adult to know about what it's like to be a teenager in 2018?
Good question. I would like adults to know it's as stressful because of exam pressure.
It involves many things like education, friendship, do's and don'ts, love, pressure and maturity.
People's words can affect you and can make others think differently about you just because you like or dislike certain things.
There's a lot of pressure being put on you and a lot of hard work teenagers need to get through.
You can't help who you are.
I would like an adult to know the pressures of friendship.
Adults need to know teenagers don't like to tidy their room.
Sometimes things can really be hard and difficult, but we need to learn from any mistakes along the way.
Social lives and finding time to fit everything in.
People around you will be using bad language, and even if you ask them to stop.
The fact is, everyone annoys you telling you to do something when you were going to do it 1 minute later.
Teenagers actually have a life, not just based around social media.
There is a lot of pressure of doing GCSEs and finding out what you're doing after school, sixth form or college.
But most importantly, discovering yourself as a person.
This reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, found on page 670 in the Church Bible. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time of love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen under the burden of God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed.
Well done. Quite a challenging reading, but very well read Indeed. And I hope you notice, you hoarders, I hope you noticed in the midst of it, there is a time to keep and there is a time to throw away. So changing times, but also challenging times, I think. And I jotted down one or two of the things that the youngsters read to us a few moments ago. They're really very telling, aren't they? I hope we were listening, taking them in. There's a lot of pressure put on you and a lot of hard work teenagers need to get through. As someone who's been in education, been a teacher for many years and training teachers for the last 10 years, that is absolutely right. There is no doubt at all that the pressures that our youngsters experience in our school system nowadays is greater than it used to be. There are lots of reasons for that, but there's really a continuous process of tests and examinations that's going on almost all the way through secondary school. And of course, many schools, because of Ofsted particularly, very concerned about results. And that pressure comes onto our youngsters, and we need to be aware of it. I thought that was very true. One of the others said, I'd like an adult to know the pressures of friendship. I thought that was really interesting, because friendship, in a way, is a great support, isn't it? It may well be that your friends, they're, by definition, they're the people who are there for you at the times when you need them. But the fact is this, isn't it, that your friends will also make demands on you. They'll put pressure on you. We talk about peer pressure. And for someone who's a Christian, wants to stand for their faith, that friendship pressure can be very challenging. This is what Dr. Ross Campbell says about this. No other teenage generation in history has had so much stimulation or this much stress from being online. And yes, we do know that you have lives that are not online, and we're glad about that. But we also know that there is this real pressure of being online and being on social media a lot of the time. Another of the ones that struck me particularly, I thought all of them were very telling, but somebody said, people around you be using bad language constantly, and even if you ask, they won't stop. Having worked in a school for so many years, and it was a very nice school, and you were in a very leafy sort of middle-class area, Framlingham, one of the much sought-after places to live in the country, I can confirm exactly what our young people have said, that to be in a school situation, in a secondary school, particularly if you come from a sheltered Christian background, is to encounter language that you haven't heard before, that you certainly haven't heard at home, and which you find grates on you and is upsetting. So pray for our young people as they face these challenges, which are so much greater than we experienced in our own day. But I want to say to you teenagers that adults face lots of challenges as well. And I thought we'd just, if we're thinking about challenging times, let's look at just one example. We talked about the challenges of old age a few moments ago, challenges of work. What about this one? The challenges of being a new parent. Many of you here this evening can remember that, at least that challenge, because becoming a mum or a dad, it's all about suddenly having a new identity. Suddenly you begin to define yourself in a different way, and it really is a big challenge. A change of identity, becoming a family. You've been a couple, but now you become a family. And it's a huge new challenge. That's just one example, but many of us here this evening are facing challenges of different sorts, perhaps with our health, perhaps at work, perhaps in a relationship. And those challenges, we need to pray for each other. That's part of what being a church is about, an important part, that we support each other, that we pray for each other, but also that we learn to share with each other. Because if we share those problems, then others can understand, and then they can pray intelligently. But Jesus says this, in all our sort of challenging times, I think we need to hold on to the rock, which is Jesus. And he says this, Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you or abandon you. If you make a commitment to Jesus, if you give him your heart, if you trust him, then he will be with you always, no matter what may happen, no matter what life may throw at you. He'll be there for you. Jesus will give you that peace that you need in the midst of anxiety. And I know I work with a lot of, not teenagers nowadays, but I work with a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, because that's who most of my trainee teachers are. And I know that they deal with a huge amount of anxiety in their lives. People come and see me, have a tutorial with them, and they're just pouring out a massive amount of anxiety. And sometimes it's to do with the course, and I feel badly about that. But very often it's not. It's about what's going on in their lives. Jesus will give you strength when you feel weak. And all of us know what it is to feel weak in the face of peer pressure or the challenges that life brings. And to be honest, some days we feel stronger than others, don't we? Some days we feel better able to cope than others. But Jesus will give us that strength. Jesus will point you in the right direction when you feel lost, when you don't know which way to go or what to choose. He will never let you down. So changing times, challenging times, and finally, a time to choose. We heard from Ecclesiastes about how there's a time for everything, and there's a time to choose. Someone has written, the only time you have is now. J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books, has said, amongst others have said this as well, but it's important to remember, she says, that life is not a rehearsal. It's for real. And that is absolutely true. You can look back at the past, and it's important to look back at the past and sometimes to be encouraged by it. And it's good to look forward to things. All of us look forward, especially at this time of year, with all this snow on the ground. It's nice to think about a summer holiday, isn't it? And perhaps to begin to plan that, amongst other things. But the only time you have is now. Because God has placed you and I in time and in space. The only time we can act is now. The time to choose to follow Jesus is now. This is what Joshua had to say to the people of Israel. He said to them, look, they were sort of doubtful about whether they were going to follow God or not. And he said to them, choose today who you're going to serve. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul echoes that, and he says, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. I want to say to you, if you're a teenager this evening and you haven't made that Christian commitment, this is a wonderful time as a teenager to become a Christian, to give your heart to Jesus, to commit your life to him. And if you do that, you'll have a solid foundation for the rest of your life. You'll have a friend who will stay with you and will not let you down. That's exactly how it was for me as a teenager, right back in the dark ages. I was 13 years old. And I went to hear Dr. Billy Graham preaching. Died a few weeks ago, didn't he? Dr. Billy Graham. And God spoke to me that evening, 13 years old, and I made a Christian commitment. I became a Christian. A few years later, I went to uni and I broke away from my sort of Christian family background, found that there was a lot of excitement in life that maybe I hadn't known about before. And God began to get pushed out to the edges of my life. And it was when I was 19, a couple of years into uni, that I renewed my commitment to follow Jesus. And it stayed with me ever since. So you could say my teenage years were kind of bookended, 13 and 19, by commitments to follow Jesus. And I want to say to you, if you're a teenager, now is a great time to say yes to Jesus and to follow him. And the writer to Ecclesiastes says that as well. Here's a very loose translation, very loose paraphrase of a verse from Ecclesiastes. When you are young, don't forget God, because life is so exciting. That's remember your creator in the days of your youth, if some of you are wondering. When you're young, don't forget God, because life is so exciting. But maybe some of you here this evening, you're older, and yet you've not made that Christian commitment, and you'd say, Paul, does that mean I've missed the boat then? And I would say the great thing is this, the now applies to everybody. Just a short while ago, a few years ago, the father of a dear friend of mine in Cornwall, who was in his 70s and who'd really been a long way away from God, he became a Christian. And that was absolutely wonderful. The last years of his life have been transformed. So what I would say to you this evening is this, don't miss out on the now. It really does mean now. It means this evening, because now is the only time you have. And if God has spoken to you this evening, we're going to have a time of reflection, a time of prayer. Be listening for God's voice. But if God has spoken to you, seize the now. Talk to somebody about it this evening, to Andrew, to myself, to Rachel, to one of the other leaders. Don't just go off home and shrug it off and miss the wonderful opportunity of now.
If we fix our eyes fully on Jesus and ask him into our situations, what will change? Let's take some time to do this in prayer. Father God, thank you that you meet us where we are, whatever our age or situation. Thank you for your truths and how they can help us move through life, coming closer to you. You are my strength. The Bible says even young people get tired. We ask for your strength now, for day-to-day life, but also those moments when we need it most.
You are my anchor. We live in an ever-changing world where we can be tossed around like small boats in big waves. We ask you, God, that we would know our steadfast as we make our way through life.
You never fail. We can feel so let down in life by friends, teachers, people we work with, family, and even by ourselves. But we will never let down by God. Father, we pray that we know this more.
You are our hope. When we feel overwhelmed or underwhelmed, Jesus is in the light, is the light in the darkness. Where do you need hope in your life?
You will deliver. Sometimes we can see a way forwards or through what we are facing, but you will carry us through. We ask we would know this.
Emmanuel, take a moment to pray for the person next to you, that we would know God is with them this week. We bring you these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.